This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by the Taylor and Soaps Gift Shop and Tea Room of Mount Olive.
There's been a lot of changes in farming over the years, but at Farm Credit Services of Illinois, our commitment to farming and its way of life has never changed. Our products and services are a good fit because we understand the importance you place on your family and your farming operation. If it's the security of a long-term fixed-rate real estate loan, the flexibility of a one-year product, or one of our operating lines of credit, Farm Credit provides the products you want with the service you deserve. As a farmer-owned financial cooperative, Farm Credit has been serving farmers for generations. Whether we're in an office or on the farm, our commitment is the same. Dependable, constructive products and services designed for the way you farm. When you're looking for a lender that cares as much about you as you do your farm, look for Farm Credit of Illinois. You can find us online at fcsillinois.com or at 800-444-FARM. Farm Credit, a good fit for all your farm financial needs.
Hey, it's the Chicks from Taylor and Soaps.
Brighton Eastas, here's what you've been asking for. Ears to You is back. Starting April 26th, with a single-day purchase of Brighton bracelet and necklace, receive any pair of earrings of your choice absolutely free. While you're here, check out our generous selection of spring handbags crafted by Brighton. Have you purchased your new spring handbag yet?
Taylor & Soaps Tea Room and Gifts, located in Mount Olive, the place to shop for the women in your life.
Firestone, the leader in the field.
Right now, get $100 back on every Firestone brand radial tractor tire you buy on up to 8 tires. Rebate ends April 13, 2013. Restrictions apply. Call your certified Firestone Farm Tire dealer for details. Promotion card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC.
Firestone, the leader in the field.
Don't miss the radial tractor tire rebate at Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield.
10 minutes after 6 on this Monday morning in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now. May wheat trading at 703.5, down 5.5. July wheat trading at 704.75, down 6.75. May corn trading at 646.75, down 5.25. July corn trading at 626, down 7. May soybeans now trading at 1423.25, down a nickel. July beans trading at 1374.5, down 8. On the Chicago Board of Trade Friday, May wheat ended the week at 709. That was up 6.25. July wheat ended at 711.5, up 4.75. September wheat ended at 718, up 4.25. May corn on Friday ended at 652, up 7.5. July corn ended at 633, up 3.25. September corn ended the week at 572, up 5.25. May soybeans ended the week at 1428.25, down 2.25. July beans ended at 1382.5, down 7.5. August beans ended at 1328.5, down 10.5. May soybean meal on Friday ended at 412.40, up 14. July meal 402.50, down 6. August meal, $381, down 14. May soybean oil on Friday ended at $49.16, down a half dollar. August oil, $49.18, down 48. August oil, $49.08, down 44. May oats on Friday ended at $3.92, that was up 3.5. July oats, $3.83, up 3.75. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
This is John Ray with Friday's Grain Report. Illinois country grain prices were mixed late Friday afternoon. Heavy rains and flooding along the river systems combined with planting delays to support the higher corn prices. Soybean prices closed lower. The concerns that the world economy is slowing pressurized soybean prices. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn 3 to 8 cents stronger at 647 to 661. Soybeans are mostly 2 to 3 cents lower at 1432 to 1450. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn mostly 2 to 4 cents higher at 647 to 664. Soybeans are down 2 to 7 cents at 1441 to 1458. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shelled corn mostly 3 to 8 cents higher at 644 to 677. Soybean bids are mostly 3 to 8 cents lower at 1446 to 1469. Wheat was up 3 to 6 cents at 703 to 717. Illinois soybean processor cash bids were 7.5 cents lower at 1442 to 1478. The basis was unchanged at 60 to 90 cents over the July. High protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered $1.40 to $4.40 per ton higher at $4.24.40 to $4.37.40. Basis levels were unchanged to 3 cents stronger at 12 to 25 cents over the May. Illinois corn processor cash bids were up 3 cents at 668 to 678 with basis levels unchanged at 35 to 45 cents over the July futures. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn market 2 to 4 cents higher at 662 to 667 with basis levels 4 to 5 cents lower at 10 to 15 cents over the May. Soybeans were down 7 to 12 cents at 1456 to 1471. Basis levels were down 5 to 10 cents at 28 to 43 cents over May. New crop wheat was 6 to 9 cents higher at 712 and 1/2 to 716 and 1/2, with the basis at 1 to 4 cents higher, with bids at 1 to 5 cents over July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn market 6 cents higher at 663 to 666. These elevators lowered their soybean bids 10 to 18 cents at 1465 to 1473. Soft wheat was up 6 cents at 733 to 734. Milo closed 7 cents higher at 636 to 637. Contract bids to producers for fall delivery grain in northern and western Illinois. Shell corn cracks for fall delivery range from 510 to 521. Fall delivery soybean contracts at 1175 up to 1193. In central Illinois, fall delivery shell corn contracts range from 514 to 528. Fall delivery soybean contracts 1180 to 1195. In the southern part of the state, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted at 513 to 532. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from 1180 to 1198. June-July delivery soft wheat contracts in the southern part of the state range from 689 up to 710. This is John Ray reporting.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade from Friday. May hogs ended the week at 87.85, down a dime. June hogs 90.20, down 40. July hogs 90.27, down 52. April cattle on Friday 126.35, up 15. June cattle 121.30, down 7. August cattle 121.62, down 15. April feeder cattle on Friday 134.02, down 42. May feeders 139.20, down 85. August feeders 146.05, down 112. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with the afternoon livestock report. Starting with Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded 8 cents higher. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of 73.26 to 76 even, with the weighted average carcass price of 73.66. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows traded $3 lower, with light to moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds were $40 to $45. The 4 to 5 weights, $43 to $47. The 5 to 550 weights, 47 to 48, and 550 and up were 49 to 50. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points traded a dollar lower, with moderate demand and offerings ranging in price from 47 to 53. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 12,591 head. And from the Walnut Livestock Sales Report for April 18th, they had receipts of 278 head. And compared to last week, slaughter steers, heifers, and bulls traded steady. Slaughter cows sold $2 to $5 higher, and Holstein steers were lightly tested. The trade was active and the demand good. Choice slaughter steers were bringing 124.25 to 128.25. Choice slaughter Holstein steers 103 to 103.75. Choice slaughter heifers 124.75 to 127.50. Now, starting with the slaughter cows, the breakers were bringing $78 to $82. The boners, $74.50 to $80. And the leans were $61 to $69.50. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded from 124 to 127.25 and on a dress basis from 198 to 202. Heifers on a live basis were 124 to 126 and on a dress basis 198 to 202. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 315 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $83.90, which was 41 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $190.10, which was 69 cents lower, with the select carcasses at $183.63, which was 62 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000, which compared to 112,000 for last week and 122,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 408,000, which compared to 392,000 last week and 409,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for butter, 178 and three quarter, unchanged. For block cheese, 188, down a half. For barrel cheese, 177, up one. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Friday, 1762. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for April, 648, and for May, 648. Corn delivered to Scottville for April, 647, and for May, 647. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for April, 1465, and for May, 1440, and wheat delivered to Scottville, 698. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, 648. Corn at Scottville, 647. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, 1465. Wheat at Scottville, 698. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday morning at 621. Color radar shows no precipitation in the Mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
You only get one chance to leave your mark on the land you love. Your farm is your life. The choices you make, the seed you plant, will all affect the legacy you pass down to future generations. So choose a brand with a legacy all their own, FS High Soy. The first proprietary soybean brand, High Soy, has been a part of the land for nearly 50 years, so no one knows the territory better. So grow proud and pass it on. Talk to your local crop specialist at M&M Service Company, powered by Green Plan Solutions. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Partly cloudy skies today, the high about 70 with light south winds. Tonight, becoming cloudy with a chance of a shower, low temperatures in the low 50s, and for tomorrow, Tuesday, showers likely and cooler, high temperatures in the low 60s. Looking ahead for Wednesday through Friday, partly cloudy and cooler, a slight chance of showers Friday, low temperatures in the upper 30s, highs in the upper 50s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure is steady, our temperature 39 degrees under clear skies. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Don't you just love the sound of a powerful deal on a John Deere tractor? It's deer season at Sloan's, and that means it's a season for tractor savings. Our 1023E tractor starts at $11,296, a great value for features like twin-touch hydrostatic transmission and our legendary John Deere reliability. Start saving and do more. Visit any of Sloan's 17 Illinois and Wisconsin locations, online at Sloan's.com, or like us on Facebook. Power up with Sloan's.
In the news today, in the aftermath of the devastating fire and explosion at the fertilizer plant in Texas, many are wondering if it could happen here. Tricia Braid of the Illinois Corn Growers and Marketing Board talked to Gene Payne, the president of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association. Ms. Payne says the facilities here and in other parts of the country are similar.
And a lot of the questions I've gotten is, do our facilities in Illinois store the same types of products that that facility in Texas did? And, you know, generally the answer is yes. I mean, we store nitrogen-based fertilizers in several different forms. A lot of facilities store fuel, store propane, store anhydrous ammonia. So while they don't know yet what the cause of the explosion was and may not for some time, you know, what I've been reassuring people is that this is one of the reasons why, you know, our industry advocates for a lot of safety and inspection measures at our facilities for our anhydrous ammonia and for our other forms of nitrate fertilizer. You know, we work very closely with the Department of Ag. We want our facilities inspected at a minimum of annually by the state. And also, nitrate-based fertilizers are regulated by the Department of Homeland Security. So every year, our members have to also report to DHS the types of fertilizers they store, where they store them. And even with their contacts with the local emergency responders, every year, ag chem facilities are required to provide a list of all the products they store, fertilizers and pesticides and fuels, where they're stored, what kind of containers they're housed in, which buildings they're located in. And the state of Illinois and local emergency responders actually have a site plan of every ag chemical facility so that there's a familiarity, if something would happen at a facility, of where all those products are stored and in what quantities and what the hazards associated with them might be.
Gene, for people listening, their reaction to that list of things you just mentioned might be something like, wow, it's surprising to hear that an industry is so willing to step up with this type of information, go on the record, ask for these types of regulations. As farmers, we tend to be pretty independent, not necessarily fond of the idea of registering with government agencies and telling people coming forth with all of this information. We prefer it to be privately held. Certainly, most of the times, don't want other members of the public to have access to the information. What you're talking about, though, is really intended to help prevent tragedy, to keep people safe, not just in the public, but also the employees of these facilities and the first responders.
Right. You know, it's funny, Tricia, because about 10 years ago, after 9/11, we were always required to tell people where we had our nitrate fertilizer stored and in what types of containers. And, you know, we had to work with the FBI because while we want our local emergency responders and the state to have that information, we really didn't want it to be available to just anybody because, you know, there are people out there, as we are learning this week in Boston, that don't have our best interests at heart. And so we were able to work with the FBI and keep some of that information confidential to just our government agencies, which is good. But locally, you know, we always stress to our members to engage with their local fire departments. Most of them are volunteer. A lot of the employees that work at the fertilizer plant are on the local fire department. And those walkthroughs of the facility, so there's that level of familiarity, is very important. And if you have a fire at an ag chem facility, and it happens from time to time, it's very important to know where those products are located so the firefighters know what the hazards can be and can take those appropriate actions. And we've certainly never had anything to the extent of what happened in Texas. And, you know, there's a lot of days that go by every single day that there's absolutely no incidents at 5,000 ag chem facilities located nationwide. And I'm sure they'll determine what happened in Texas. And I'm sure our industry will be very responsive to, you know, making sure that a scenario like that, you know, could never happen.
That was Gene Payne, the president of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association, talking with Tricia Braid of the Illinois Corn Growers and Marketing Board. Here's an update of last week's sale at the United Producers Livestock Market in Shelbyville.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture bringing you the report from the United Producers Auction in Shelbyville. The auction was held April 16th, and they had receipts of 294 head. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold a dollar lower. Slaughter Holstein steers were $2 lower. Slaughter cows and bulls sold $8 lower, and feeder cattle traded mostly steady. Trade was active and demand moderate to good. starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were bringing 122 to 127. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 110 to 115. Choice slaughter heifers were bringing 122 to 126. On to the slaughter cows, the premiums were bringing 105. The breakers, 80 to 86. The boners were 73 to 77. And moving on to the feeder cattle, feeder steers, medium and large, 1 and 2s, 4 to 5 weights are bringing 130 to 140. The 5 to 6 weights, 115 to 120. And on to the feeder heifers, medium and large, 1 and 2s, 4 to 5 weights, bringing 126 to 128. And they had some 800 to 850-pound heifers, and they brought 114.50. Feeder bulls, large ones, 5 to 6 weights, bringing 124 to 135. The 6 to 7 weights, 124 to 135. That concludes our report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Right now, we'll update the regional hog markets. We join University of Missouri livestock economist Dr. Ron Plain.
Well, it wasn't a very exciting week in the hog market. Hog prices mostly steady for hogs directly delivered to the plants on a carcass weight basis. No real change. $76 per 100 weights, kind of the average price here at the end of the week. Terminal market hogs steady to a little bit lower with prices in the low 50s on a live weight basis. Futures market also looks like it's going to end the week pretty well where it started with not much price change. On the positive side of it, though, cutout value higher this week, $2 to $3 higher the end of last week, with loins and hams up, pork bellies a little bit lower. USDA released their retail pork price numbers for the month of March, $3.47 a pound. That's up 2.5 cents from February, which is good news, but 2 cents lower than in March of last year. And weights, not a whole lot of change there either. 276.5 pounds for the average live weight in Iowa, Minnesota last week. That's up 0.1 pound from the same week a year ago.
And that was Dr. Ron Plain, livestock economist from the University of Missouri. Our guest on the Saturday Farm Show was Bob Bellum of the University of Illinois Brownstown Research Center. We talked about pasture management for horses and other livestock, and he gave some tips for the coming summer.
Well, the most important thing that a horse owner, anybody who basically has a limited amount of acreage needs to consider as they're going into the grazing season is just how many animals they actually have to put out on a pasture and how large a pasture they have. Because in many cases, these pastures end up being overstocked for continuous grazing, and then the animals end up trampling actually more than they consume, and then the pasture gets bare spots and becomes weedy and it's really non-productive at that point. So, you know, step one in my book is always planning ahead and determining what your pasture assets are and how many animals you have and do they match.
Is there a rule of thumb, so many animals per acre?
Well, we talk about animal units. An animal unit is basically a 1,000-pound cow with a calf on her. And then how many animal units per acre can you actually carry? You know, I've got a rough rule of thumb. If you put the animals out on the pasture in the spring, you leave them out on the pasture all summer long and don't rotate these pastures, then you probably need or can't have more than about one animal unit for every 2 or 3 acres of pasture and actually maintain the pasture. If you manage your pastures more intensively, if you subdivide them into paddocks of smaller areas and then rotate the animals through these paddocks, allowing each paddock to rest approximately 30 days before it's regrazed, then you can get as many as 2 animal units per acre. So you get this wide range of carrying capacity depending on how the pasture is managed.
That was Bob Bellum of the University of Illinois Brownstown Research Center. It's been reported that House Ag Committee Chair Frank Lucas plans to move ahead with markup of the farm bill on May 15th. According to Lucas, the Republican leadership has suggested he take more time and consider tougher changes in the food stamp program to win conservative votes. Lucas said he'd be happy to hold listening sessions with the Republican Whip's office before the markup, but wants to keep his schedule and produce a bipartisan bill with Ag Committee Ranking Member Colin Peterson. On the Senate side, Nebraska's Mike Johanns has told reporters his impression is their committee markup will also take place in May. According to the top trade official for the European Union, free trade negotiations with the United States should be concluded before the end of next year. In fact, Commissioner Karel de Gucht predicts the talks will be completed before the midterm elections in the United States. It is anticipated an agreement between the United States and the European Union would foster growth and jobs by lowering tariffs and removing other trade barriers for most industries. But negotiations aren't expected to be easy, in part due to disagreements over the ag sector. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat now trading at 7.02¾, down 6¼. July wheat trading at 7.05, down 6½. May corn trading at 6.46½, down 5½. July corn trading at 6.25¼, down 7¾. May soybeans trading at 14.23¾, down 4½. July beans trading at 13.74¾, down 7¾. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday morning, brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield.